Curiosity. What are you so curious about?
Everything.
Mr. Curiosity.
This is it. Episode number, John?
30?
I have 30.
I don't know.
No, it's like 500, right?
I have no idea. Remember, okay. It started out back in 2019, 2020.
So it's hundreds.
Yeah, but yeah. The first few years were a whole different format, one-on-one.
Yeah, this now, is the new Mr.
This is the new Mr. Right. And look, if you're watching on YouTube or on streaming, it's got a new logo, too. But if you're just listening, that's okay.
You can't really see Joe's face
in the shot. Okay.
Joe's down there.
Let's look
there. There we go.
So all right. And we're now streaming on WNEP Plus. So to our Plus audience.
Yeah, if you don't want to just listen, you can watch.
You can watch.
Because you have to see Minnie. Fun. She's so animated in person.
It's riveting television.
Maybe it's not.
It could be. No, because you get to see us reach into the bag.
It's... Oh, yeah. There's the return of bag cam.
Yeah. We even had the reach in bag cam.
Yeah,
we're so high tech here.
All right. So this is where we answer your questions, everybody. So keep them coming. It's brownbag, one word, at WNEP.com. Brownbag@WNEP.com. Now, remember, Mindy, this is only going to be as good as the questions.
I know, and we just have to rely on Travis. That's
No.
We want the people.
We've been getting a lot. But if someone asks, how do you make an apple pie, this thing is going to be terrible. It's going to suck.
Well, I could answer that.
Mindy wants to do a cooking segment. So.
I would love to do a cooking segment, actually.
But. Well, if you got cooking questions, personal questions about us, if you got relationship advice, weather questions.
Yeah. Why are you laughing, Sean?
Yeah, Sean.
I mean...
Goal this episode is to stay out of the bathroom.
That's true.
I feel like we've been in the bathroom a lot recently.
There's been too much toilet talk lately. Yeah.
Okay, there has been. But no, Sean's here, digital director. Maybe you have questions about the technical end of all this and the web stuff.
Yeah.
I feel like you guys only draw those questions the weeks I'm not here.
Yes.
That's true.
Seems that way. And then we make stuff up.
It's usually pretty accurate.
And a little hint, this may now be a weekly podcast.
What?
Wait, what?
Mindy, do we have to work
more? Every Monday? Could it happen every Monday?
Are you kidding?
He didn't tell us about that.
And they're out. Mindy, that's not what my contract
You better pick a question.
All right.
So keep the questions coming. brownbag@WNEP.com.
We don't preview them.
We don't know what they are. Mindy is unraveling this thing, her eyes seeing it for the first time.
That's right. I forgot to put my name on my last email. This is from Tom.
Is that the question?
Well, that's just how it starts out.
Okay.
It's Brown Bag Monday. Too much... BSing. I won't say what he really wrote.
Okay, keep it coming.
I think you only answered 4 emails. Oh, so he's saying that we're not answering enough questions, I guess.
Oh.
I enjoy your podcast. I have every 2 weeks marked on my calendar.
Whoa.
He marks
see what
Tom.
I'm talking about here? You
Tom,
see what I'm talking about?
It's called Brown Bag, so just answer the questions.
Oh, so he's making
the
point.
No, his
less chatting.
Well, there's
more
a PS. The PS is the only question. Joe, how much is the new dishwasher?
How much money?
How much did it cost?
I'll give you that. But what do you guys think about his first?
He doesn't want this, Joe. He just answered the questions.
And I don't know.
And then he can stop.
Do you think that's? Do you agree though?
I think you enjoy how those questions
they go into tangents.
I think that's what makes it great.
Yeah, so
we
I
just
don't know.
Answered questions and moved on. That would be pretty.
No, it would be pretty.
Yeah, I think it leads into interesting discussion.
But I think there's a middle ground. 4, if that is
that's
correct.
That's not many.
That's not many. We can do a little better.
I don't think that's.
But
correct.
Yet we like the tangential offshoots. Okay, all right. So my new dishwasher.
Yeah, how much was it?
After 20 years, it broke, and then I called my guy. Because I don't like to go look at them. I just call my guy and
He's a guy for everything.
I know. He's got a guy.
No, you ask the professionals. I said, what's the best one that will not break at Dunmore Appliance? And he said, go with this or go with that or go with this. And he gave me 3 choices. And I said, what's that top choice? He goes, Mindy, it's got a top rack.
Top rack of a dishwasher. Oh, yeah, baby.
And it's extremely quiet. And it was like 800 and something. I go, what's the bottom one?
That would be me.
That would totally be me.
And I think that was like 580. Wow. And I go, what's the difference between the bottom one and the middle one? He said, it's quieter. It's going to wash thoroughly. It's probably going to last longer. Let's go with the middle one. So I think it was like $660 or something, and then $120 bucks to install.
Dishwashers are expensive.
They are, and they don't last
gone,
as long.
Like everything, but they've gone up a lot.
Yeah.
In just a few years.
Do you guys think that's a lot? Because when I
thought that was a good price.
Yeah.
Actually,
I thought it was going to be about $1,000. But I thought it was going to be about $1,000.
We got ours like 4 years ago, and it was.
Do you remember what yours was?
It was like the 400 range.
Oh, and
it
was Mindy.
So it has gone up.
I think we have superior. The top rack.
The top rack
Mindy's
is awesome.
Just fancy with the top rack.
Describe the top rack.
It's a lovely top rack, and you can adjust it if you want it to go a little lower, a little higher, depending on what you'd like to put in it. I put in knives in it for the most part, but then all these people on Facebook told me you shouldn't put knives in the dishwasher.
I thought that was for silverware, I thought.
I always put knives in the dishwasher.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know what their deal is.
Well, it's funny how our last dishwasher was 20 years old. You don't know what new technology offers because he said, you want to pay a lot extra for a really quiet one? I go, no, I don't care. And ours was so noisy compared to this one.
You really noticed the difference?
So I had a noisy dishwasher for the last 20 years and didn't even know it.
That's
so
funny.
And then
the middle of the road one. Yeah, it's like this one. It's gone.
I can't even tell if ours is on unless I look at the little light that shines on the floor. There's a little red light.
A light that shines
on the floor? You guys don't have that?
Wait, describe this.
It's just like almost like a laser beam light that shines on the floor when it's on.
What's its purpose? Just to let you know it's on?
To let you know it's on.
Bother your cats.
Wow.
Who is
She's fancy.
Tom, forget about my dishwasher cost. What was yours?
I actually drove to Harrisburg to get one
on
sale.
Wait a minute. To get it on sale.
Do you remember?
I found one for – it was $550, and it was a Bosch. So that was a Bosch. Okay, which is a really good price for a Bosch. But I drove to Harrisburg.
I got ripped off.
Well, no. I mean, you didn't have to drive.
That's good.
You didn't have to drive to Harrisburg.
Oh, my God.
Here's the part that that we learned about Joe and his stage in life. The week that he got his dishwasher,
this was
the biggest moment all week. He was excited about it.
Sleep the night before. He was so excited.
He's reached that point where the big event of his week was getting a new dishwasher.
But see, I'm the kind of guy very involved in dishwashing. I don't know if you guys are, but I love cleaning the kitchen. I love putting things in it. I love taking them out.
How did Dawn find you? Like that, you're the only guy I know that says this stuff.
I'm a loader more than I'm a
washer.
Unloader. Oh, really?
Okay.
Well, remember this led to the whole debate over are you organize your dishwasher, and this was a meme, an architect or like a raccoon on meth?
Yeah. I'm a raccoon on meth.
Just toss it in.
And I'm just a tosser.
This is a good podcast discussion.
Jam it all in there and make sure the water's going to hit it somehow.
And I'm a jammer too.
Rennie so crazy that she doesn't even want me to load the dishwasher because she has such an order for how it all
goes. That's my wife too, Sean, because Mindy discussed her. She's a jammer and her husband's.
I'm a raccoon on meth.
Yeah, me too.
I feel bad even saying it.
Uh-oh.
But I'm more of the organized. I'll go back through and reorganize. But the problem is I'm not the best at just like initiating cleaning dishes or laundry or things like that.
They'll sit in the
sink? So I feel bad that it bothers. Yeah. So they would probably sit in the sink longer, but then someone else is kind enough to load it. But then it bothers me and I'll
Then you're
it.
Critical of how right. it was loaded.
That is so funny.
So that's not a great thing.
That's so
but
funny.
At least
like
I
a,
admit it.
Like a passive aggressive.
Yes.
I guess. Well, yeah, I need to get better about loading it myself and then I don't have to worry about it.
Right.
See it frustrates Rennie so much when problem. I do it that she doesn't, if we're both there, she doesn't want me to load it. Because she.
That's a good strategy,
so
John.
Orderly. So okay.
It's a good strategy.
I'll do other chores.
Well, I came home from work yesterday. And there was one dish in the sink with a fork and a knife. And I'm like, who would do that? Why didn't I put it in the dishwasher?
Daughter, right?
So I opened up the dishwasher, and it was done, but it was filled. Someone didn't empty it.
Oh.
So Dawn, I said, why would you leave your dishes in the sink like that? She goes, well, it has to be emptied. I said, I can't go
Maybe
on
she
with
didn't
my
have
day.
Time.
So I start emptying it, and she's like, I hate when you do that. Why can't you just let me do it when I want to do it on my own time? I'm like, I got to get rid of this now. I can't go about my day with a dish in the sink.
Oh,
so I emptied it and then put her one dish.
I don't have that problem. I can have dishes in the sink. I'm fine.
There's personalities that come out of this. Yes. That's all I'm saying. Yeah.
Tom is really mad at us right now.
Yeah, too long.
Like, it's his question and we just
Tom.
And I know I need to do better.
Good job, Sean.
This isn't a confessional.
No, I need to do better and I know that.
I picked a question already.
All right. What is
did
your
you
question?
Get that on the question?
I did. I got the question. I missed the first one, so I apologize. Please don't send emails.
All right. This is from Mike. Does the world need more parking garages to make up for the lack of ground level parking spaces? Mike, Hanover Township.
So
it depends on where you're talking.
Do we need more parking to make up for the lack of ground level parking spaces?
Well, this is another personality driven thing. What do you guys think about parking garages? I hate them.
I don't like parking garages.
I'm not a huge fan of a parking garage, but you need them some places.
What would you rather? What I'm saying, let's say you had to walk a half a mile and park on a normal road, or walk just a few hundred yards and park in a parking garage.
I'd rather park in a parking garage.
Like if I go to a city and I can try to find an on-street parking spot.
Even if you have to walk a lot farther.
I'll drive around.
Me too.
And then walk.
I'd walk 10 times farther
instead
than
of going to
the
parking
garage.
Here's a take. I would prefer more ground level parking lots converted to multi-level garages than more parking lots in general.
That's true.
Because then you can
instead of paving
some
the world?
Green space and parks and
good
things
point.
Like that. If you can quadruple a single parking lot, then that frees up some space to do other things other
it's
than
a,
parking
It's a valid
lots.
Point. I just hate parking garages. I get lost. I don't remember where I parked. I don't like the elevator, the stairs. The in, the outs are too sharp of a turn. I hate them.
You need to go to Disney Springs in Florida because their parking garage, when you pull in, tells you when you pull in how many spots are available on each level.
Ooh.
And
Mindy, this sounds like your dishwasher.
Above and above every single parking space is a light on the ceiling that tells you if it's red, there's a car there. If it's green, it's available. So you know which level to go to for the most spots and where those spots are.
I can't even comprehend
that.
They don't have that at the Boscov's in Winona.
They don't, but they could, I guess.
Wow.
So, yeah.
But Joe refuses to go to Disney, so that's a whole other story.
That's a whole other podcast, I guess. I'm not a Disney guy. He's one of my least favorite places in the whole world.
You do realize Disney owns ABC, right? I mean, not that.
Yeah, but they don't own it.
I know, but I'm just saying you're on ABC.
That explains a lot of GMA nonsense, I think.
That's another whole podcast.
Sean, are you going to take a question?
Look, we already tackled dishwashers,
make sure you get the camera, Sean.
Parking garages. So you have to write these
down
because
these down
when I do the summary, I forget what
forget.
We talked about.
Travis.
Travis. At least, hey.
How about this? This is the one that's directed at me.
Wow.
It's H-A-W-N, though, Travis, so you lose half a point for that. But anyway, please use AI and ask it, how clean is a shower loofah? It may put an end to Joe cleaning the shower with it.
We're back in the bathroom.
Oh, dear. We are back in the bathroom.
You guys discuss shower loofah.
Travis.
I still want to convince you guys.
You're not going to.
No. Unless you dip it in bleach after you're done, which would probably hurt
your skin.
The material
that makes up the loofah is polyester. It's like a polymer.
I thought it was a sea sponge.
No, it's very like wiry. So when I scrub the shower, there's definitely nothing living on this thing. Now, I don't know what my wife does with this thing, but she doesn't know that I use it to clean the shower.
You use it to clean the bathtub.
The bathtub and the shower, and then
thousands of people know.
A bit, but
that
your wife
loofah
doesn't.
Is used to clean the bathroom, and she doesn't know. Thousands.
I'm going to guess it's not a dirty item. I'm telling you. She cleans her. What do you do with it?
What does AI think, Sean?
AI tells me loofahs contain a lot of bacteria, including E. coli, staph, strep, because they're porous and the complex mesh of fibers makes them difficult to dry out.
They
stay in a warm, moist
well.
Environment. But if you want to still use loofah after hearing that, dry it daily, which no one will do. Rinse it well after each use. Shake it out thoroughly. Hang it in a cool place where it's best chance of drying out. Clean it at least once a week with a diluted water mixture of 10% bleach, which Joe's
bleach.
Doing.
I'm doing.
He's doing. Yours is the cleanest.
I might have the cleanest loofah.
Yeah.
Because I used
the
bleach.
You're actually solving the problem. And you're supposed to replace it every 3 to 4 weeks.
That's
a same one. He's cleaner than anyone else.
2 months if it's plastic.
Wait. Do I have the right item named loofah? This thing is a ball. It's as big as like a mini basketball.
Plastic. It's like
who's going to have it for 2 or 3 weeks? Ours
no,
has been
that
in
one's
there.
2 months. 2 months for plastic. 2 or 3 weeks for a natural loofah, like a sponge loofah.
Like a
sea sponge. That has been in our shower for about 5 years.
Well, I mean, and it's still good. You're bleaching it.
You're bleaching it once bleaching a week. So.
I always just sniff mine. Like if it smells musty or moldy, then I
toss
it.
You're a loofah sniffer.
I'm a loofah sniffer because they do get gross after a while.
I never see any dirt or anything on them. I must have
Not Joe's because
he you can't see the bacteria, Joe, unless you're a microscope.
But how is it different from the soap dish or your toothbrush? I mean,
you can't really see all the bacteria on those things either.
No,
and
it's
everywhere.
They're everywhere. I'm telling you, this
But you
thing
just
is...
have to sniff it, and if it smells bad, musty, moldy, whatever, then you toss it.
I bleach it, and I hot water it, and then I hang it back
His
up
is
where
the cleanest one there
it.
Is.
I'm telling you.
You win. I think you just won, thanks to AI.
And Travis.
And Travis.
Thanks, Travis.
All right, Joe.
When is she
Your gonna, pick.
When? Would you guys tell her?
We won't tell
yes,
her.
Yes, no, I'm next time
one
I see
One of these
Dawn,
thousands of people is going to reveal
I'm going to totally
her.
Tell her.
I can't imagine what her reaction would be.
Oh,
she
my god.
She would just expect it and shake her head and say,
but she's lived with you a long time.
Yeah, she would just.
She knows you well.
I didn't even think to tell her.
She knows you too well.
I'm convinced that all... Did we have this one before? I'm convinced that all Mexican food is the same, just served in different ways. This guy make – oh,
like
this is Travis.
Same, like the same ingredients?
He's saying, for example, if you take a burrito and unwrap it, you now have a taco with a lot of toppings. Or if you take a taco and wrap it, it's a burrito. It's crazy. Am I crazy?
It's you know, there's some truth to that, definitely. But, like, I don't usually put rice in a taco, and a lot of times I put rice in a burrito.
Let's go over some of the meals.
And black beans.
Some similar beans ingredients, in a taco. I think overall flavor-wise, it's a lot different.
Like subtle differences, though.
Different than tacos. I think that.
And enchiladas are different.
I was going to say.
Enchilada sauce.
No, an enchilada is just like a burrito to me.
No,
there's
it's
different
not.
Sauce
it's
on
got,
top.
It's got cheese on it, melted cheese.
And I want to say it's a corn...
Listen, we're not insulting the Mexican population here.
I think it's oversimplified.
I think there's a valid point here.
Well, it depends on how refined your taste buds are.
I brought this up to my wife a few months ago. I said everything here is the same.
Well, it's also American. If you're eating like Americanized versions of Mexican food, just like most places like Italy, France, wherever, different regions have totally different.
Good point.
You know, items. So, I mean, what you're eating as Mexican food is kind of a broad generalization of what
Tex-Mex
food is.
More Tex-Mex.
Yeah.
Well, if you go to an authentic Mexican restaurant, there's a big variety of mm-hmm.
We do that.
Stuff.
But you have enchilada, burrito, taco. It's all basically the same.
But there's a lot of other
Bell.
Things.
That's Taco Bell.
No. I'm talking about a classy place we go to when we're in Philly, and it's all the same. You guys don't want to believe me here. I think you're playing the politically correct card, and
well, obviously, there's going to be a lot of the same ingredients because people work with what they have.
Okay, there's definitely diversions, but there's a lot of overlap more so than other restaurants.
And there is in Italian food too. There's lots of overlap in different Italian food.
But I mean, like,
is there?
You know,
pastas,
when you go to
tomato sauces,
when you go to Chipotle, they don't have gazpacho, and that's good Mexican food. Like,
I'm not saying Chipotle isn't.
That's
authentic
one of your
Mexican
favorite places. That's your favorite restaurant.
And I know. Well, you tell Travis then. I think it was a good question,
Travis.
Oh, it was a good question.
There is some overlap, but it's not all the same.
Yeah.
All right,
Mindy, your pick.
Oh, it's my pick. Sorry about that.
What do you guys like at the Mexican restaurant? I always get the same thing.
I love the enchiladas.
I
Chimichanga.
Do you?
Chimichanga's good.
I get chicken fajita.
Ooh, those are good too.
Which is just like a burrito or an enchilada or a taco.
Michelle from Wilkes-Barre, I think this is a law, actually.
It's a law.
She says, should be using a blinker be a law? That is a law, right?
Oh,
don't you have
so
to
now,
use
no,
your blinker?
So now let's get on it.
Secondary offense kind of thing.
Oh, really?
Like so we hit.
If you didn't use your blinker while you crashed into someone, it's like a secondary.
Okay,
offense.
You're not going to get pulled over because you didn't
for not
use
using
it.
But I could be wrong.
No, but think about.
To Google, we go.
Yeah. So
now,
let's say you're on a road and you're going to take a parking spot. You got to put your blinker on. Could you think of in a scenario where you don't use your blinker? Where you're not sure if you have to or not? That's what I think she's saying.
She's going to kill me for bringing this up.
Uh-oh.
When the roundabout first opened in Dallas.
Oh, that's a perfect example. Do you do it there?
It is a law, by the way.
When
the
roundabout first opened, Rennie was in the roundabout.
Yes.
And she went to leave the roundabout, and she got pulled over right after she left the roundabout. And the officer said, you have to use your signal to exit the roundabout. I don't know if that's...
I do it
now,
as...
Now, that was right after he didn't give her a ticket or anything. He just said, this is new. I'm just pulling people over to tell them you got
well,
to...
wait a minute. You're going through a roundabout.
You're in the roundabout.
Sean, that's what you should search. You need
gonna,
a blinker and a roundabout.
Well, if you're going to leave the roundabout, he said to her, you have to signal that you're exiting the roundabout. So that the next driver that's coming...
over for that?
She did.
Really? I do it as a courtesy when I'm leaving the roundabout just to get people...
Because the next person that wants to go into the roundabout, if you turn your turn signal on that you're leaving it, they know they can get going.
I always did it as a courtesy, not because I felt like I had to.
Apparently you have to.
Well, plenty of people don't.
Most people don't.
And most people don't.
I'm not a big blinker guy, and I get yelled at by my wife all the time. Here's a scenario that I get angry.
I'm not a big blinker guy.
I'm not a big blinker guy. It's a problem. I'm going to try to correct it.
I think I'm an over blinker.
You're an under blinker. He's an over blinker.
It takes too much time to reach out and hit the button.
No, it doesn't.
Every time I change lanes, I'm putting the blinker on.
Same.
I catch myself on 81 or the Cross Valley coming to work in the morning at 4 a.m. and there's no one on the road and I'm putting my blinker on to get off.
I do that too.
In our parking lot here. I'll use my turn signal.
See, you guys are all on the only under blinkers.
I'm an over blinker.
So when turning, 100 feet before the turn, if you're traveling under 35 miles per hour, 300 feet if you're traveling over, when changing lanes, when entering traffic, and after turning, drivers must immediately stop using their turn signals after a complete turn. So it doesn't say anything about roundabouts, but I'm sure if I were to dig deeper, it may get
All right, I'm going to give you this scenario.
Okay.
Because this is the one that makes me mad. Here's a major highway, the KC Highway, 81, whatever. There it is. You're on the... on-ramp to get onto that. You follow me?
Yeah.
So you're on the on-ramp. You're about to get on the highway. Why in the world would you put on a blinker that says you're going left? There's nowhere else to go. You're going on the highway from the on-ramp. There's no other choice.
I put on my blinker in that scenario.
I think
and I get mad when I see people, but I'm like, where else are you going to go?
Because it sort of alerts the person. What if they don't see you? The blinker is another signal to let you know them.
I don't even think about it when I'm doing it. I just, anytime I'm turning the wheel, I'm putting the blinker on.
Yeah.
Get out.
Yeah.
It's just part of the deal.
But did you see there's no other option there?
Yeah, there isn't. No. I see what you're saying. And when I'm exiting the interstate in the middle of the night, no one's seeing that blinker, but I'm still turning it on.
And you can't assume the person in that lane is paying attention that blinker might jar them into saying, oh, there's a car merging over.
What if you look in the mirror? There's no one. It's 4 in the morning.
I feel like I just put it on habit.
Yeah. You kind of have to do it on autopilot in order to always put your blinker on. Otherwise, you become an under blinker.
It looks like, once again, I'm alone with the loofah.
You're
alone with the blinkers.
No, you're the only
person.
You're the person with the cleanest loofah in America. If there was a contest for cleanest loofah in America, you'd win.
Speaking of blinker, can I tell you just a funny thing
that got me
a couple weeks ago? We were in Pittsburgh, and have you ever heard of the Pittsburgh left?
Yes. Pittsburgh left.
No.
So if you come up to an intersection in Pittsburgh and you're going to take a left and you're at the light, so you're at a red light and your light's on to take a left. When the light turns green, even if someone's coming the other way, you go first. They're going to wait for you to take your left.
So that's a Pittsburgh thing. That's a cultural thing you're saying.
It's just cultural?
It's just cultural. Yeah, so you're sitting there. They're the first person opposing you, coming towards you.
What's the origin?
They're just going to wait. Yeah. So I was at an intersection, turning left. The light turned green, and I waited. And so did the other person. And I was like, oh, shoot. I'm supposed to go because I grew up in Western Pennsylvania. I know about the Pittsburgh left.
Oh, my goodness.
But I'm just not used to it.
Yeah.
And that other person I could tell was irritated.
You didn't go.
And I'm sure he's like, out of town.
That is so funny.
It's just
know.
In the mindset you let that person go. You know, here, like, you may wait at the light until the last second before it turns red and make that turn. There, they're going to let you go.
Wow. That's nice. Yep. That's very friendly.
Well, you know, it's too, also with the new vehicles, if you cross the dotted line and you don't put your blinker on,
it'll yell at you.
It gets mad at you.
Yeah.
So it gets mad at you.
The wheel shimmy.
The wheel shimmy. So that's the only reason a lot of times I'll use it, just to avoid that. So I don't have to get the wheel.
Well, see, if you have an older car, you don't have to worry about that.
My 2006 Toyota Highlander.
I was just going to say, if you have John's car, then you don't have to worry about
it. If you have Mindy's,
it
just drives you itself. You don't have to worry about it.
Then you still don't have to worry about
it. When we first had a car with the shimmy, my cousin was driving, and he's like, I think there's something wrong with your car. We're like, no.
No, there's something wrong with your driving.
It just does that. Yeah.
You know what the funny part is? I love the shimmy. I don't know why.
Really? I don't like the shimmy.
Oh, I love the shimmy.
No.
It's like a friend nearby going, oh, yeah, here we are.
It's like a friend.
Does it, now, does
waking
your car
you
also
up?
Autocorrect?
Yeah, autocorrects the shimmy.
Yeah.
The first time I drove an autocorrect car that it was my friend's, I thought, what the heck is going on? This car is taking control.
You're like 90%
yeah.
almost able to drive without
steering. Well, Mindy's is 100.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%, baby. I don't have to drive anymore at all, which is good because I'm usually half asleep on the way home. So,
does the Tesla shimmy or does something more advanced?
Yeah, it'll shimmy. It'll shimmy, yeah.
I thought it would be above. Right, I thought it would be above the shimmy.
Get the camera ready, Sean.
Got it.
I thought it'd be like shimmy.
That's a drinking game. Drink every time we say shimmy. This episode. Rewind it. Go get a drink.
That's a great idea.
Thanks for the word shimmy. I wouldn't have used that. I always called it a shake. Shimmy's better.
All right. First, it's a compliment.
We'll accept it once in a while.
Just want to thank Joe Snedeker for his radio spots and his regular It's a Great Day to Be Alive.
Oh, see, I appreciate it.
They don't have a TV, but I hear him regularly on the radio driving to work.
Very nice.
That's it. It's just,
what? It's just a compliment?
It's an encouragement for me to hear this positive affirmation daily.
Oh, Melissa, you're so
sweet.
You know,
Melissa, thank you. And John, you could have buried that and not said it, but you read it to me and it made my day. Made me feel better.
Wow. Yeah. So you're accepting the compliment.
Did we ban that?
We banned compliments.
I thought there were no compliments.
But no compliments.
No bird talk, but that
the bird thing throughout the window.
Yeah, the bird
Mickey.
Thing's gone. We've been doing French-derived words. I think there are no
There's
rules.
There's no rules
no
anymore.
Rules anymore.
Yeah, I think shimmy's French-derived.
Since there wasn't a question, can I pick another one? Or
You should pick another one, definitely.
What's the origin of the word shimmy?
Oh, now, if people are playing that drinking game, they're just going to be loaded by the time we're done.
Shimmy.
Stop saying it.
Does your dishwasher shimmy?
No.
This is Travis.
That's all right, Travis. Don't
Guys,
be intimidated.
Guys, I'm a bit embarrassed as I consider myself pretty knowledgeable about PA history and fun facts. This is one I don't know.
All right.
When did Punxsutawney Phil start to determine when winter's over? And why is it 6 more weeks? Is there any reasoning behind that?
You're the expert here because I think this is your neck of the woods.
It is. I grew up near Punxsutawney. I don't know a time frame of when this is, but it's a tradition.
I'll answer that part.
You do know when?
Yeah.
Okay, you answer that part.
Well, what about – what was his first part?
When did it start?
Oh, do you know that?
No. I mean, I know it's been going on in Punxsutawney, and I believe it's a German tradition that,
yeah, it goes
that
back
was brought
to pagan
over.
Traditions, I believe.
Yeah.
So the midpoint of – the solstice, which is December 22nd, and the equinox, which is March 22nd, is when they used to celebrate halfway to the equinox. And that's when February 2nd, 3rd, 4th, that's when that started. Mm. So it's the midpoint astronomically between the solstice and the equinox. And that's how that started. And that's also why Halloween is at the time it's at. Mm-hmm. It's the midpoint between the September equinox and the solstice in December. So
and
it's all
that's why it's 6 weeks. It's because that times you out, February 2nd, 6 weeks times you out almost to
month,
the spring equinox, right?
6 weeks would be
it's getting
half
close
of
to there.
12 weeks,
yeah.
And 12 weeks is the length of a season.
So that's why it's the 6 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. See how we solve all these problems here?
But how long has it been going on?
Because
we need to just answer the question to move
we're
on.
We're making Tom angry.
Yeah, I feel like we can't just move on now.
I don't know. Tom might be happy if he's drinking every time we say shimmy.
And I know you don't like all those like weather prediction things like that.
Folklore.
I love Groundhog Day.
It's but Groundhog Day. And,
I love Groundhog
And that
Day.
Celebration of Punxsutawney is just awesome.
Someday I'm going to it. I haven't been there yet. And I know you've been there, right?
I've been there.
Yeah.
But I have to say, and I think you know this, they were a rival high school of ours. Their basketball team was really good, and we were often in the league championship, and we did not like Punxsutawney, and I didn't really care for the Groundhog when I was in high
were
school.
Were they like the fighting Phils?
Were they like arrogant?
They were the
like
Punxsutawney Chucks.
Oh, my gosh, that's
they
great.
They could do better.
That's
they could
great.
Do better.
Yeah, come on, Chucks.
But we always thought, oh, those kids from
yeah,
Punxy
they think
are
they're
so full
cool.
of themselves because
yeah.
they're like a worldwide phenomenon. Whatever.
That is so funny.
Mindy,
but it's a really cool tradition.
We told John this. I don't know if Sean knows this. The secret to a marriage when I went to Punxsutawney on the bike ride, remember? Like 8, 9
years
ago.
Oh, that's right. That's
I don't even know if I remember my own story, but I was in Punxsutawney. It was one of the stops on the Gojo ride. And they showed me where they keep Punxsutawney. And it was this awkward thing at the bottom base of a library. In the library, just this glass window. And then that's where they live. And I'm like, what do you mean they? Well, Punxsutawney and his significant other.
Yeah.
And I go, well, why aren't they together? Oh, to keep them happy, they stay in separate containers.
They have separate bedrooms.
The lady said, that's the secret to most good marriages. sleep in separate bedrooms and separate rooms. So they keep them apart, except during mating season. I guess.
And there was two baby Punxsutawney Phils, right?
I don't – at the time?
No, I think just this last season, there was two babies.
They do their own thing until it's time to reproduce. Then they let them.
Well, and let's be real. In the nature world, there's not always one big happy family. Husband, wife, and kids. We get these photos because we do Wildlife Wednesday, and they'll be like this family photo of deer. And it's the buck, the doe, and some fawns.
Okay.
Well, that's not how it works. Like that buck has a lot of kids with a lot of different doe.
A lot of monogamy.
That's not just this happy little family.
I was going to say penguins.
It's very rare.
There's some.
Yeah, there's other, like,
is it
eagles?
Geese? Are they that way? Maybe. I don't know.
I think there's a small handful of animals. Yeah.
That are that.
Yeah.
But through natural selection, that somehow benefits the species if they do stay together for a long time.
Right.
And that helped our species out too.
Certainly did.
Did it?
Yeah. Whoa, Mindy throwing the I love
you. Wait a minute. You better pick another.
Wait a minute.
Now. Shimmy.
You laughed at that. Shimmy started in the 20s. It's like a vaudeville term.
Uh-oh. Oh, it is. Like, well, I know how to do a shimmy, but I'm not going to do it for you. I'll do it when the camera's
off. Mindy, this is on WNP Plus. They want to see a shimmy.
I know. I'm not going to do it. It is kind of a dance move,
though. But she was just promoting promiscuity.
I wasn't promoting, but I think there is too much of it. That's what I think.
Okay.
Yes.
I was trying to be the good guy. It benefits our species, and you – whoa.
I just think that there are some people out there that don't have morals. Anyway.
Well, this is animal and relationship related, so
– well, that's why just sticking to the theme.
This is from Jim. And Jim asked Joe, you and Jet are the perfect fit together.
Aww.
My question to you is, when you got Jet, was it for the purpose for your children to have a pet or you to have someone to bike, hike, kayak, and garden with? I know your entire family loves Jet dearly, but I think you got him for your own enjoyment.
So they're so far off. The story's boring. You heard it a million times. I'll do it quick. So my mom passed away at a fairly young age, 70, and she had an older dog. It was like a poodle type dog. I think it was 15 years old. So when my mom passed away, my kids were young. They were only, 8, 9, 10, 11-ish, somewhere in there. So then I took her dog home with me because the dog had nowhere to go. And it died shortly after, about 3-4 months in. So now that dog died in our house. But my kids fell in love with having a little dog in the house. Mm-hmm. So there is no way I was going to get a dog. I'm not just saying this. 0% chance. But you know what it's like to be a parent. They kept bugging me. I want a dog. I said, we'll go look at dogs today as a trick to just put them at ease.
Yeah. Get it out of their system.
Yeah. Okay, kids, we'll go look today. And that's all it was going to be.
You can never just go look.
So we go to the very first place, 8 miles from my house, called DC Pet Center. And they pull out this thing. It's small, it's cute, it's white, and they drop a tennis ball down the aisle in the pet store. This dog runs down there a million miles an hour, grabs the tennis ball, brings it back, kicks it around, sees a soda bottle on the side of the hall, starts playing with that, spinning around, up and down. Blah, 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 blah. My wife, no joke, like a scene in a movie, goes, get that thing away from us.
Yeah.
And then I go, I'll take it.
Yeah. That's great.
No joke. That's how it happened because my son at the time, in between her, get that thing away from us and I'll take it. My son's like, I love that dog. My son, Luke. Mm-hmm. So I just go, I'll take it. Little did I know what a Jack Russell was. I had no knowledge of dogs.
You didn't this watch thing, Frasier at all?
This thing was a terror for the first 6-7 months.
Oh,
it
yeah.
just ate everything. It had boundless energy. I wanted to get rid of it. So I started, what am I going to do? I'm going to take it in the woods and maybe it'll go with me. Started biking with me. I actually tried to lose him in the beginning. And then that's when we fell in love and we've been buddies ever since. He just needed to get the energy out. It's that type of species. And it turned out he'd been a perfect match for me.
Exactly. You've got boundless energy too.
So it was the perfect match for me. So then I started taking him everywhere. And then he was fine. He didn't need to destroy anything because he was out of energy for me.
Well, and also once you get past that puppy phase.
The puppy phase.
Yeah, it's just a tough, you know, beginning.
Well, oh, my God. It was so tough. But no, I had no intention of getting a dog ever because three kids were enough.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Dad, you're in that stage now.
That's where
we are. Your kids want a dog.
They ask for a dog nonstop. Mm-hmm. And we're getting close.
Just go tell them you're going to go look.
No. Because I've heard your story before, and I know what will happen.
Well, and that's the same thing that happened with my recent story. After Moby died, I said, I'm not getting another dog. I'm not getting a puppy. And my husband said, let's just go look.
You can never go look.
You came home from vacation with the dog.
With the dog,
You can't just go look. It's like a dishwasher you're going to buy.
You're going to buy. Yeah. So you know, John, don't go look.
Don't go look.
How far in are we? Is this the last question already?
We're about 35 minutes in.
It's the last question.
Is it my turn?
Yeah.
I'm going to shimmy some of these.
And Tom, this is going to be like 8 questions.
Yeah, so it's way more than 4.
Yeah, so Tom.
It might even be 9 or 10. I don't know.
Okay. This is an oldie. Look at it. It feels like tissue paper.
Oh, yeah. That one's been rustling around in there.
It's been shimmying through all the material there for a while.
I'm going to listen to this podcast myself.
Oh, Sean, this is perfect for you. I think we brought this up and then we put it back in there, but I still don't understand the concept here.
Okay.
What are the cookies on a website? What am I accepting when I click accept? Also, what happens when I decline? I understand it's a trail of places you go, but why do some places offer a choice? That's what I don't get. What happens if I choose no or yes?
Well, I think the allowing cookies thing is more of there's been more like, you know, involvement in what kind of information. You have to give people an option whether or not they want their information shared.
But some places don't even give you that option. So are you automatic?
Most all websites now.
It seems like almost every time it pops up.
They have to say, give you the option not to be tracked. It basically, so, I mean, the reason they exist is so that we, like, from our station standpoint, we can get some information on, like, how many people are coming to the site and where they're coming from.
Well, let's use our station. So, let's say I'm home.
Right.
And I go on WNEP.com.
Right.
And I accept the cookies. What do you know about me now? Where I live?
Like, general information, not your address.
Okay.
No, but, like, maybe where your town is. But not even necessarily your town. It's probably might be the closest, like, hub for like Xfinity or Verizon.
Whoever. Oh, okay.
So like if they have a hub where everyone's getting their internet from and that happens to be in this town,
okay,
we might get a large number of people from whatever town, but it's not necessarily there. It's anyone whose internet ties into that hub.
That's in the cookies.
Potentially things like the age of the person or things like that. And a lot of it was originally used in order to make sure, you know, if you see ads on a website or our website at your house, you'll see ads generally targeted toward you.
Towards me. And I kind of like that concept.
Whereas I'll see ads generally targeted towards me. So for ad targeting purposes, that's part of why cookies are gathered. I mean, then there's like the nefarious side of things where there's businesses that will gather that information. They just turn around and sell it to people because they want to be able to target people based on that information. Like, are they interested in buying cars? Like, if you're looking at
a Ford.
Like clicking on a car ads, then they know you're like kind of looking for a car, and they'll use that information to send you more ads like that, or, you know, be able to send you things in the mail.
Do you guys fear cookies?
I don't seem to like them.
I usually say no.
I usually say no,
but then sometimes you're denied access.
Yeah. Right.
And why do they have to call them cookies?
I know, because it sounds
cookie
so
crumbles.
Good.
It's like a trail of crumbs.
I know, but
it still sounds so good.
I think they want it to sound nice. Ominous.
But is it different from like the Facebook when you click on something and then you're given all these? I once, like months ago, I clicked on a bikini girl and now every day I'm getting bikini girls and I got to stop.
Well, that's just their algorithm. That's just how it works. How could I stop
the bikini girls? It was just an innocent click one day.
At this point, it feels like you just think about something.
That's true. You don't even have to say it out loud.
Yeah, you can go into like your Facebook history and stuff like that.
I got to get rid of
that. A lot of that, like cash out. Kind of stuff, so you can clear like your cash.
It was just one innocent click, John, and now it's an onslaught of bikini girls. I didn't mean it that way.
One innocent click.
That's all it was.
I believe you.
And there are browsers that the whole reason they exist is for people don't want like their information. There's like
what's that one?
DuckDuckGo.
Is that good? Is that you like? You recommend that one?
I mean, Oh. Claims that they're not gathering that information. I mean, I don't work there and I don't know, but I know a lot of people use that when they don't feel comfortable. They feel like their information's being taken and they don't want that to happen. Yeah, something like a DuckDuckGo. But you do run the risk that there are maybe some sites where not all the functionality is going to work properly.
Doesn't it feel like we've just kind of surrendered that that information about us is it just going to be
everywhere? Yeah, yeah, there was a time where you were like up in arms over that.
But now it's now like they know everything about me.
I know. This is That's just how the way I feel it too. It's like this is the way it is.
No, you started this, didn't you? You have to end it. This is the last one.
Oh, okay. All right.
And I'm just a normal red-blooded American guy. It was one bikini girl.
One bikini girl.
And that's all it was, Mindy. I promise.
Jimmy.
Sometimes I feel like it's how long you look at something too. Like if it's on your screen and it's just playing.
Do you notice
things,
that if you're like on Reels, if you like just pause for a second on Reel, you're gonna get 10 more just like that.
Yeah. That's where it happened on Reels. Yeah. A bikini girl showed up, and then
a little bit of if you just pause, now that's all I've gotten.
If you don't swipe past it right away, it knows.
I don't have this problem, you guys.
We're not just talking bikini girls, Mindy. We're just talking about anything.
I don't have bikini girls popping up.
I feel like I'm in confession, Father. Please forgive me for the bikini girls. Okay, I'll put an extra $10 in the basket.
So Joy would like to know. What's with the people who say almonds instead of almonds?
So
I've never really noticed this before.
Yeah, there's definitely an almond.
There is.
There's an almond group.
Almonds?
They say
is
almond.
Is that like roof, roof, pillow, pillow?
Kind of, yeah. She wants to know why people are mispronouncing
There's definitely an almond group. They go, oh, I'm having almonds. They never get the L in
there. But do they say it like that, though? Like so everyone knows?
I don't know.
I like almonds.
Well, let's do this. Know. Let's get the correct pronunciation. You want to do it?
Almond.
I'm sure it's almond.
Almond.
I know
sure
it is, but
technically it's almond.
But there's so many words.
It's
like
definitely
that.
Almond.
It's a little like I think it's just you. I don't know what they call it. Like you like smear the word. Yeah. Or I'm not using the right term.
Like I always grew up calling them the things you color with crayons.
Yeah.
Yeah.
C-R-A-N-S. Not crayons.
Yeah, I never said crayons.
Or crowns, like they say in the South.
Crowns.
Yeah, crowns. It's a crayon.
Can you give me the crown?
Yeah.
It's well, we're going to have this decide. I love when you guys do this with the little lips, the little thing here. Watch.
Almonds.
No, notice the
I didn't know you could do that.
Oh, yeah. Look. Oh, I put volume down instead of up. Here we go.
Almonds.
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 Almonds. Almonds. I just say almonds.
Do you say almonds?
Almonds.
Almonds.
Really?
Almonds.
You're an almond guy?
You say almonds?
This changed your life then. Listen.
Almonds.
Although she is light on the
almonds.
L.
Yeah.
Almonds.
That's, yeah, almonds.
Yeah, but if I say almonds,
I don't say the D.
It's probably because almonds. I'm being lazy and
not properly enunciating almonds. Exactly.
Yeah. Almonds.
Almonds.
I say almonds.
You got let this change your life now.
Okay.
Yeah.
No more almonds.
It's got to be almonds.
And we're going to end this with then how to pronounce
shimmy.
Shimmy.
You're going to say that.
Here we go. Folks, keep the questions coming. brownbag@wnep.com, brownbag@wnep.com.
Shimmy.
I'm not going to do it.
See ya.
Shimmy. 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 Shimmy.
Curiosity. What are you so curious about? Everything. Mr. Curiosity.